Appreciate Brother Chris. You pray for him while he preaches tonight. Amen. Well, it's good to be here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Judges. We'll be in the book of Judges. We'll be in Judges chapter number 14, and we'll be going through chapter number 16. And I'm not going to read all of those chapters, all three of them, but I am going to be in all three of them. Judges chapter number 14. And the Lord's really put this burden on my heart for this service, and I'll explain to you. When a preacher has a burden on his heart, or a Sunday school teacher, and they get to preach it and they get to teach it, the best way I can describe this is like if you have something on your chest and you've been wanting to tell somebody and you can finally get it off your chest, you feel so relieved. So I'm so excited to be here and to preach this message, and I'll be glad to get it off my chest, so to speak. The Lord's been dealing with me about it, and I can't wait to preach it to y'all. And I'll start with a question. We'll be in Judges chapter number 14. I love how the Lord works things out. I love when messages line up, and it really confirmed what He preached on. Just confirmed in my heart that this definitely is the Lord's will for me to preach this. And I want to start with a simple question. I wonder how many people died and went to hell in 2020. I wonder how many people died and went to hell in 2020. You may be thinking, well, how are you going to deal with witnessing through Samson? Well, stay with me. I got a long introduction, and we have a short message, but it's the burden the Lord placed on my heart. If you would stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll be in Judges 14. We'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, 'I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife.' Then his father and his mother said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.' But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at the time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mighty upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well." Now let's skip to verse 15. It says, "And it came to pass on the seventh day and that they said unto Samson's wife, 'Entice thy husband that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so?' And Samson's wife wept before them and said, 'Thou dost but hate me and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people and hast not told it me.' And he said unto her, 'Behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it to thee?'" Now we're going to skip for sake of time. Let's go to chapter number 16. We'll go to chapter number 16 and we'll start in verse number 18. It said, "And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart.' Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought her money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, 'The Philistines be upon thee, Samson.' And he awoke out of his sleep and said, 'I will go out at other times before and shake myself.' And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, 'Our God hath delivered Samson, out our enemy, into our hand.' And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, 'Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us.' And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, 'Call for Samson, that he may make us sport.' And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon thou standest, that I may lean upon them. Now for sake of time, we all know the story. He asked the Lord for strength one more time, and he takes those pillars down and he kills not only himself but the Philistines. And we'll pick up in verse number 30. It says, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. You can be seated. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father God, thank you for saving me. I thank you for all your wonderful opportunity to meet here. Lord, I pray you help me give this thought to them, how you gave it to me, Lord. Lord, I pray in 2021 you help us to be a better witness than we've ever been. God, I pray you help us not to be distracted and help us, Lord, to do our job and to do your will, Lord. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see how much time we have left. That's a good 5 minutes worth of reading. We're going to get right into it. As I was reading these chapters, chapter 14, 15, and 16, the Lord put an unusual thought on my heart, and I'm not twisting the Scripture or anything, but this is the way the Lord wants me to preach it, and I'll give it to you. And the thought on my heart is simply this: the dangers of a distracted church. The dangers of a distracted church. Now, I'm going to dive right into it. We got a lot of introduction in a short message, so let's go ahead and get the long introduction out of the way, and we'll get to the short message. So on the thought of the dangers of a distracted church, and when we look through this, I want you to look at this in the thought of being a witness. And I'll go ahead and give you this, and this is the way I feel like the Lord wants me to preach it, but the way I'll be preaching it, we'll look at Samson as the type of the church, we'll look at Delilah as the type of the flesh, and we'll look at the Philistines as the type of the world. Now we see on the thought of the dangers of a distracted church, we see in chapter number 14, verse 1 and 2, firstly, I want to see Samson's distractions. What was his distractions? Well, we're going to look at them real fast. The first thing I see in that is Samson's desire. His desire in verse number 1 and 2, it says, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. So you say, what is Samson's desire? Well, his desire and his distractions are the same thing. Well, we see his desire was to marry this lady by the name of Delilah, and the same desire ended up being his distractions. Can I say, we said Delilah in this message is going to be a type of the flesh. Can I say, a lot of times our desires maybe the flesh, and they tend to distract us from, as Christian preachers, doing our job. A lot of times the flesh gets in the way and it distracts us. Secondly, I see in the thought of Samson's distractions, I see his decision in verse 1 through 7. We see his father and mother telling him, why don't you marry one of our people? And he basically says, well, I want her. And can I say, a lot of times I look at the father and mother almost as the type of the Holy Spirit. He convicts us, and when we know we don't need to be going after the flesh and the things of the flesh, and he convicts us, he tells us, you don't need to be doing that. Yet we say, but I want it anyway, and guess what? We end up a lot of times getting our way. And when we do that, we see in his distractions was his desire and the decision. We see his desire and his distraction were both Delilah. We see his decision was to pursue his distraction. We'll take a sip of water if y'all bear with me. Secondly, the first thing we see was Samson's distractions on thought of the dangers of a distracted church. Secondly, we'll look at how much time we got left. Man, time flies when you're having fun, don't it? I don't know. I guess I got 16 minutes, so we better hurry up. Secondly, I see that we've seen Samson's distractions. Well, now I want to look at Delilah's demand. And can I say this? A lot of times our flesh will demand things in our life. It'll demand that we do something. It will demand that we go after what it wants us to go after. Now we see the demand of Delilah. I want to look at three things. In verse 15, I see Delilah's dilemma. Now, if you look at this, you would say, well, Delilah kind of had a good excuse, you know, to try to get this riddle from Samson. We see in verse 15, it said, and it came to pass
on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wives, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. So to the world, that may be a good excuse to do wrong. But we see right here that we see Delilah's dilemma. She has a dilemma. She's faced with this dilemma. She can either be loyal to her husband, or she can be loyal to the world, and she can make it to where her husband, she turns on her husband and make it to where she thinks she's doing the right thing. And can I say, a lot of times in our flesh we may feel like we're doing right, but really we're not. Our flesh is rotted, our flesh ain't saved, and we ought not listen to our flesh. I see the dilemma we've seen here, and the dilemma, the part right there where it said, you know, I think that may be a good excuse. A lot of people may think that. Well, can I say the flesh will always make an excuse? And the Bible says make not provision for the flesh. And the flesh will make provision for itself a lot of times by presenting an excuse. It'll say, well, I don't, if I do this, I kind of have to because of this. And then we're presented with an excuse in our life. We see the dilemma was, she was faced with an excuse and she took that excuse and used it. I see our flesh presents excuses in our life, and if we don't want to be distracted, we need to turn them down and serve the Lord. Second thing I see in Delilah's demand, I see her deceitfulness. Let's skip over to chapter 16. We'll be in chapter 16 and verse 18. Chapter 16 and verse 18, it says, and when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. Now I see right here, I see Delilah's deceitfulness. I see that she called Samson to tell her all his heart. By being deceitful, she didn't do it. She abused her power of being a wife, and she prided out of him, so to speak. She wouldn't lay off of him. That's a good woman for you. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. But she really did. She prided out of him. She wouldn't leave him alone. And he finally was like, basically, all right, if I tell you, will you be quiet? That's how I like to look at it. And it says right here, I see her deceitfulness. She is so deceitful. She fools everybody. She's fooling her own husband. And trying to trick her, and can I say our flesh is very deceitful. It deceives many people. There's many people that are not here tonight. They're at the house, and they're at the house every time there's a church service. And the reason that is, I'm not throwing shots at them. The reason that is because their flesh has them deceived. They think, well, I don't need to go to church. I can live right at home. I can read my Bible at the house. But can I tell you, there's some things you cannot get at the house. I can't get the fellowship. I can't get the family I have here at my house. If I went to my house and left the things of God, I would be miserable. Because everything I have and live for is here. My church family's here. My friends are here. And God's here. And that's why I go to church here. And I've got family that I love outside. And I wish they would get back in church. But the reason they're out is the same reason many people are. Is their flesh is so deceitful, it tricks them into thinking one thing when really it's another. Next, we've seen the deceitfulness. Now in verse 19, let's read verse 19 of chapter 16. It said, she made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Now I see her decisiveness. We see, it wasn't just it started off with, oh, she's tricking him into it, but now she's so decisive, it ain't just a trick anymore. Now she ain't just using her mouth. Something just happened, but if y'all can hear me, I'll scream louder if I need to. But it ain't just the fact that, she's deceitful with her mouth, but now she's being decisive. Now she's taking actions into her own hands. Now she's shaved his head off. Or his she shaved his head off. She saved his hair off. If she saved his head off, this will be the end of the chapter. But you go ahead and laugh it out a minute. We'll get back to it. She said she shaved his hair off. So we see the decisiveness there. Now, thirdly, we're going to get through this. Every point I'm going to stop for water. So y'all just bear with me. My throat's getting dry. See how much time we got left while we're at it. Alright, thirdly, I want to look at Samson's downfall. Samson's downfall. Now I want you to remember, Samson is the type of the church. And believe it or not, churches can fall down. They can have a downfall. They can be destroyed. All because of a Delilah. All because of flesh. All because of the devil. I see in Samson's downfall in chapter 16, verse 21. It says, but the Philistines took him and put his eyes out and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow after he was shaven. I see Samson's distress. Now his hair, his power is gone. His hair is gone. And he's put in prison. And his wife just, I wouldn't even say cheat on him. It's even worse than that. She just betrayed him. Like, it's over. I'm taking your power. I'm basically taking his life. Now we see he had distress coming into his life. And can I say this? A lot of times, the downfall of a church, it don't happen overnight. But a lot of things that help in a church's downfall is distress. And I'm not trying to preach like I know everything, but I'm like farmers. We are farmers. I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. And I've there've been a lot of churches that they've fallen down, and their downfall has a lot of times have been caused by distress. Problems arise in the church, and next thing you know, that church is not like it used to be. We gotta go through these real fast. I told you it was a long introduction. But next I see Samson's despair. We'll skip to verse 30 of chapter 16. It says, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. We see his despair right there. We see that he has despair in his life. He just feels like all hope is gone and he wants to die with the world. A lot of times our churches, when there's a downfall coming, not only is distress help it, but despair helps it. It helps it to where they think, well, it ain't even worth serving God anymore. I might as well go down with the world. Can I say, just like Christian preach, we still got a job to do. No matter how much despair comes in our life, no matter how much distress comes in our life, we're still to serve the Lord. Now I see, and the sad part is the next 2 points. Verse 30, I see also the defeat of Samson. We see he is now defeated by the enemy. And there's a lot of times our churches, sadly, have been defeated by the enemy. I don't want to look back at the end of 2021 and be going to another church and think, man, little Ivy this time last year was doing good, but they got defeated by the enemy. I don't want to think that. I don't want to think thoughts like that, and neither should you. But if we keep serving God, we won't have to think about that. It's just like preacher says, serving God is just literally putting one foot in front of the other. Lastly, in another sad part, I see Samson's death. I believe if he would have been serving God and doing like he should have been doing, he probably wouldn't have died of such an early death. But we see he died. I mean, that's what happened. His downfall was because of distress and despair and defeat. But then because of his downfall, it now brings death in his life. And there's a lot of people, and I say this is about the church, Samson is, but you can even apply that to the Christian. There's a lot of people that they had a downfall in their life and they're not willing to try to get back up. And it ends up being their spiritual death. It's checker time. Don't want to be a liar. Sal's going to take a sip of water after every point. Now, number 4. I see the Philistines' destruction. Now, if you look at this in our carnal eyes, this is a good thing. We look at this and we think they were against God's people. It's a good thing they're getting destroyed. But this is the part the Lord really put on my heart. And we're about to get to the meat of the message. Just bear with me. I see right here on the Philistines' destructions, we see they was deserving. They deserved every bit of it. They deserved it. They had it coming to them. And can I say, when I was lost, and if you're lost, hell is what we deserved. Hell is what we should have had. Hell is what we definitely deserve now, even though we're saved. We still deserve hell. Y'all bear with my voice. When I preach along a little bit longer and higher, it starts to squeak. So don't mind that. Just try to listen to the words. But I see that they're deserving of everything they got coming to them. And we was deserving of hell. And the lost and dying world, they are deserving of hell. But God came down and sent His only Son that they might be saved. God still cares about them, whether we do or not. Now I see they're deserving of what they're getting, but they're damned. You say, how are they damned? Well, they didn't believe in God. So, I mean, if you study your Bible and know your Bible, then they're in hell. The Philistines, maybe they changed and got saved, some of them, but as the majority, the Philistines are more than likely in hell. And because they didn't believe in God. And, or the one true capital G God. Now we see that not only were they deserving, but they're damned. And this lost and dying world, if we don't tell them the message, they're damned. They're on their way to hell. My voice will not quit screeching, but we see that they're on their way to hell. And if we don't intervene, now we can't save anybody, but if we don't intervene and try to be the witness that we should, they're damned. They're on their way to hell. Lastly, in my introduction, I see they're desired. How are they desired? Like, what do you mean the Philistines are desired? Well, the Philistines being the top of the world, they're desired. I want to read some scripture to you. I got it on screenshot. It's easier than me writing it down. 1 Timothy 2, we'll skip to verse number 4. It's talking about supplications and prayers being made for all men and for kings and authority. And then it says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." We see it is not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We see they are a desired people. This lost and dying world are desired by God to be saved. We got about 4.5 minutes, so we got to get through this. I'm going to give you the name of my message. I'm going to give you the meat of my message. I'm going to sit down. The name of it is "The Dangers of a Distracted Church." The word "danger" simply means the possibility of suffering harm or injury. It's dangerous for our church to be distracted because we may have a downfall just like Samson. But even more dangerous than that, it is dangerous that we be distracted because of somebody else's soul is on the line. I see the word "distracted" means prevent someone from giving full attention to something. And my, in 2020, how we have been distracted, not only by this virus, but the election and everything else, we have been distracted. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. If y'all have handed out, each and every one of y'all has handed out just as many tracts as I have this year, that I'd be as bold to say, and it'd be true, that church, we have dropped the ball when it comes to soul winning. There's people dying and going to hell, and we need to, like Christian preach. I wish my voice would stop screeching. I hate that, but like Christian preach, we ought to be doing our job. Now, I want to look at this, and I'll be done. I'll be out of the way. I want to look at two key factors right here. My 2 points, I already mentioned them. But I want to look at Samson's downfall. His downfall, I'm going to go back to that, and I'm going to mention a little bit about it. His downfall was because of distractions in his life. And so we could raise our hand. I'm not going to get you to, but I know I have distractions in my life. And if we're not careful, we'll be distracted by the flesh and what the flesh wants. We'll be distracted with work and all the affairs of this life that we may have a downfall. And that's sad, and I don't want that to happen. But even worse than that, I see the Philistines' destruction, that not only did Samson's downfall come because of distractions, but so did the Philistines' downfall. I see now that the lost and dying world, if our church is distracted, they're going to have a destruction, so to speak. When they go to hell and get cast in the lake of fire, there will be a destruction, so to speak. And I want to look at this, and I'll be done. I'm almost done. I got like 2 minutes left. But if we don't be a witness to them, and can I tell you this? We're saved. I know I'm saved. I can't go to hell if I wanted to. And I'll tell you this much. The devil can distract me, but he can't have my soul. I am eternally kept in the hand of the Lord, but can I tell you what? He don't have to get me hooked on drugs. He don't have to get me hooked on alcohol. He don't have to get me hooked on anything like major that we would consider major. But if he can distract me, if he can get me to where I'm not looking at what I need to be doing, if I'm not doing my purpose, fulfill my purpose in this life, if he can get me distracted, no, he can't have my soul. But he can take somebody else to hell with him. What is the dangers of a distracted church? Our downfall could happen, number one. But number two, people can die and go to hell all because we are distracted. I want to look at this and I'll be done. There's only 2 reasons people die and go to hell. Obviously, the main reason is because they're lost. But the 2 reasons people die and go to hell, they reject the gospel. Number one is decisions. They make the decision not to get saved, and they end up lifting their eyes in hell. Secondly, I see the reason people are going to hell is because simply distractions. Whether it be them getting distracted and going to hell, or whether it be us distracted and not giving them the message. I've got a minute and 7 seconds left, and I'm going to give you the meat of my message, and I'm done. I'm shutting my Bible. I'm done, I promise. But what I want to look at is this. There's people dying on their way to hell. And if we spend 2021 on our cell phones, and if we spend 2021 doing what we want to do, being focused on work, and no, work ain't bad. You should provide for your family. But if we spend it focused on all the wrong things and we get distracted, people are going to die and go to hell. And one day, we're going to have to give an account for their soul. Their blood's going to be on our hands. And the Lord's going to, they're going to say, well, nobody told me. And now people's going to say that, and it won't be true. There'll be people that told them, but I honestly believe there's going to be people that we know die and go to hell, and they can say, nobody told me. And we can't call them a liar because we didn't tell them. I've got neighbors I haven't told. I've got family I haven't told. I know you've got neighbors and families you haven't told. And I want to look at this with the remainder of our time. We've got 13 seconds left. I want to open it back up, and I just want to look at this. And the dangers of a distracted church. It's dangerous because our church may have a downfall, but most importantly, sinners are dying and going to hell. Thank you for the time, preacher.
And great how the Lord's tied those messages together. I thought most all of us adults that are driving age, you know what it's like to get distracted.